4. Royal Palace and Monastery of St. Gernot, City of Telisburg, Kingdom of Currus.
A moment, if you please, Sajin Merlin.
Merlin paused and looked up in some surprise as Archbishop Michael laid a large, powerful hand lightly on his shoulder.
Yes, Your Eminence? How may I help you?
They stood just inside the door of the chamber the rest of the royal council had just left, and Caleb looked back at them with one eyebrow raised.
Is there something we still need to talk about, Michael? The king asked.
Actually, Your Majesty,
Stainer said, his tone more formal than usual,
I'd like to borrow the Sajin for the afternoon, if I might.
Caleb's surprise showed rather more clearly than Merlin's had, and the Archbishop smiled.
I promise I'll have him back in time for supper, Your Majesty. I simply have a minor matter I need to discuss with him, and since I have a pastoral errand to run in the city this afternoon anyway, I thought I might ask him to come along with me. Just as a precaution, you understand.
Caleb's expression tightened abruptly. The attempt to assassinate Archbishop Michael was entirely too fresh in his memory for him to misunderstand what sort of precaution Stainer had in mind, especially in view of what had happened to the Royal College 3 days before.
If you need additional protection, Michael, the king began, but Stainer shook his head.
I'm not really especially concerned about assassins, Your Majesty, he said with a half-smile, not this time at least. However, I do have a visit I want to pay this afternoon, and, under the circumstances, I'd really prefer not to draw a great deal of attention to it. Unfortunately, I'd be just a tad noticeable if I take along a passel of armsmen. Given the unfortunate events in the cathedral, what's happened to the college, and the way feelings in general seem to be running, I'd hate for a private trip to visit an old friend who's not feeling especially well to focus any potential hostility on a simple monastery, and it's only too possible I might make certain people think I must be up to something if they realize I'm going there at all. Fortunately, I feel quite confident,
his smile grew broader, that Captain Athrawes would be more than up to the task of keeping both of us intact if I made the trip incognito, shall we say?
Is it really important enough to risk having you running around the streets incognito at a time like this? Caleb asked.
He's a very old friend, Your Majesty,
Stainer replied quietly,
and his health has been failing for some time now. It isn't just a visit of friendship.
Caleb gazed at the prelate for a moment or two, then drew a deep breath and nodded. Merlin wasn't particularly surprised by the king's capitulation, even though the notion of anything happening to Michael Stainer at this particular moment in the history of Safehold was, frankly, just this side of terrifying. That was probably even truer for Merlin than it was for Caleb, if Merlin was going to be honest. And after the earlier attempt, no one, not even Stainer, could pretend the Temple Loyalists hadn't figured out the same thing. But both Merlin and Caleb knew nothing they could possibly say would dissuade Stainer from the discharge of his priestly office. If they could have dissuaded him, he would have been someone else, and he wouldn't have been so vital to their hopes for the future.
Very well, the king said.
Then he moved his eyes to Merlin. Do try to keep him in one piece, please, Merlin, again. Stainer had the grace to wince ever so slightly at the king's final word, but he didn't let it change his mind.
I'll do my very best, Your Majesty, Merlin assured Caleb, and glanced at the towering royal guardsman who'd been waiting outside the council room door.
Sergeant Pater Faircaster was the only member of Crown Prince Caleb's marine bodyguard to formally transfer to the guard when Caleb assumed the throne. Arnald Falcon and the rest of Caleb's old bodyguards were now protecting Crown Prince John, Caleb's 11-year-old younger brother. The change of assignment had been hard on both Caleb and the men who had protected him for so long, but the security of the heir to the Carizian throne had been a responsibility of the Royal Carizian Marines since time out of mind. Faircaster might well have stayed with the old detachment as well, but Caleb had insisted that at least one of his Marines had to come along, in no small part because they already knew about Merlin's visions. Having someone else along to help cover for Merlin's occasional peculiarities, at least until they decided which of the king's new guardsmen could be admitted to that same knowledge, had struck the young king as a very good idea. Merlin had agreed. Besides, Faircaster's calm, competent ferocity was immensely comforting to the man, or Pika, responsible for keeping the king alive. And having someone around who'd been fishing Caleb out of scrapes since he was 9 years old wasn't exactly something to sneer at either.
"Pater," Merlin said now.
"Yes, sir,"
the enormous guardsman rumbled. "Send a page to inform Lieutenant Austin that you need another man. I think Sergeant Viner should be available. Then keep a close eye on His Majesty until Viner shows up. Don't let him get into any trouble."
"Yes, sir."
Faircaster touched his right fist to his cuirass breastplate in salute and gave the king a stern glance, and Caleb shook his head. "It's always so comforting to realize how much in command I am of all about me," he remarked to no one in particular. "That's good to know, Your Majesty." The exquisite courtesy of Merlin's response was only slightly flawed by the amusement in his strange sapphire eyes. Then he turned back to Stainer.
"At your convenience, Your Eminence," he murmured.